Evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. We'll begin this time of worship. We'll sing to God's praise in Psalm 51 and the first two stanzas of Psalm 51 in Gaelic. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion's great, blot out all mine iniquity. Be cleansed from sin and thoroughly washed from mine iniquity. For my transgressions, I confess my sin I ever see. These two verses of Psalm 51 we sing in Gaelic. We'll remain seated to sing, and after we've sung, John McSween will come and lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
As in Shachar and Achnar Toyen, as in the limber of words on the Kriya, who is on the Shlees Hanirar Kluosatna, carried it to Harsa. How so naturally cast so new, naturally near South Sadi, Sgyfeisgiad gynnon ni ddys ond sy'n efo sy'ch ddys. Mae'r gwyli gen ar ŵmwys na nod. Ie fi anodd y gyda'i sy'n gyglwch gysad y gwm ys gybwyd y gwytau yn lan ym mynawr. Ar gygeindiach eif sy'n yw'r bas chaf a sy'n byw. Ys mi'n dda mae'r gyd na yn y dren yn iawn. Gyda'i gada'i yn adys gwrs. Sgwb o gadw ti'n y ffwbydd. Y cryngin o'ch gwydioch eid yn nhw'n. Gwydioch gan a'ch ein. Sy'n a'ch el corym a'ch gyfi. Fyddi el y gwrs o de. Mae'r a'ch a'ch gan. Mis at y dolyd as na'n ingen. Iddyn iach dri a'ch gyhyn. Ar y rwg a gwydioch ysgau dion ysgau clir. I ei fi anest ysgau bi wein conio. Nid fys at y crwm ysgau ysgau ni glawn. Nu is het even dat ik in faun nu zo'n dennig. En smoren. En goed gasten nu is. En goeusje niet. Waarop. Hoe ik het doel geef aan het. Dus bij mij nu. En dit lieg. Kan ze zitten dat hij de zee in orde. Je moet je nu de goed zeggen dit. Bij hem is dit even zo gaan mij. Dat ik het wel gedaan. Zijn als je niet fijn voor je. En bergen als je zint in de vaart. Dus is heel maagheer, ik begrijp niet aan wat je zegt dat je mag horen. En dan de waan is zo'n wakker gaatje, als ze bij je toelen, als ze bij je helpen. Als je niet kunt nog het kijken, die ook de schule, heb je geduld, collega. Ze zijn hier, het is gebied tot vroeger gaat te gelen. Het is gebied dat naar haar mag boer, dat haar mag veen. Dat boeien kan knieven ze. Gedi yn o'i ddashga. Sgilori gedi yn o'i ddashga. Na las na lin. Ie fi anodd eich at adat bwy. Ar dyrru eich sy'n sysi. Ys maddi gwbwn edrych. Asgach lin ys gynnal. Fi anodd hi edsyn a bwlyg fod y laim. Sy'n lefydd yr wlyg yn mae yw'n lechyn ys yn y horra. Fi hyn conio Als een zieke in de zak. Toen de laatste een leegje. Bij een koning hoe je je aan het. Ga misnachen. U is mij er eer te hard te roen. Zijn hier het is gebegat in de nasik. En jongens is land. Ach je hebt ze net boog. Het was een paas. Je hebt je aan het gekregen gehad. Roen is het kinder met beste lus en hem. Ik heb de oorlogen gehoord gezegd, ik heb een koud, maar ik heb het niet gezegd. Ik heb de oorlogen gegeven. Ik heb een stukje met de oorlogen daarna. Ik heb het gezien dat de jongens door het zo gekonnigd van het team. Ze kunnen ze niet kalen en door het van het team. Ze noemen ze een tal jongens in de serie. Ik heb een stukje met een gegeven. Fe'n y lan yn o'n y tŵl yn o'ch afeisyn, rwy'n y fas. Ys fas ydy rwy'ch gyd halaf ar gach hwn i eil y hacyn. Gybwt ydy rwy'ch sy'n fas, rwy'ch gan lawr ydy siarad cas. Mae hyd o bwyd o'r gwrs i, ti'n yw'n sy'n ffarwel aeryd. Ys rwy'ch gan y dôn ag eilis wys yn o'r gyll. Yr ysyn i gybwch, dy hys Dwi'n edrych ar ôl iach gan ys ydy'r dyn. Sgwb gwaith y gwyth yn ôl iawn. Sgwb dad i gael panier. Gwneud sere mae o'n fach coedrych chi ddal. Gwneud lwch gwrs dy hand. Ys yn eich alach gan. A chan nhw'n ddwrs yn y dyn. Bian i'ch gach yn ymwneud ys y dyl o'n. A hat i gynnal o'n awn gwaith. Gwb i adeg yn ŵrach yn ein indyn sy'n eich ddiwch. Sgwb gwaith ydyn o'r talwch. Gwyrlif ar tywyr i byw. Gwlan sy'n trwy nhw'n nhw'n ysgach ddi ysgach ddi ysgach ddi. Amen.
Amen. We'll sing now to God's praise. Our mission praise 1164. The words on the screen. Come, O fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing your grace. We'll stand to sing to God's praise.
Come, O fount of every blessing, should my heart to sing your praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Songs of God's abundant treasure, sung by
if you could turn down your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to read the ESV version tonight. It's a little bit more discreet in some parts than the NIV. Genesis 19, it's not the easiest chapter, but it's a chapter that we've come to, and this is God's word, so let's read it together. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you, and do to them as you please, only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out for groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone else you may, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of this city. But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to them. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And they brought them out and said, they brought them out. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And Lot said to them, oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest a disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. He said to them, behold, I will grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, so that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with them. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again to God's praise now. We sing again from Psalm 51, and we'll sing from verses 7 to verse 13 in English. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so, yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. Of gladness and of joyfulness, make me to hear the voice that so these very bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All mine iniquities blot out, thy face hide from my sin. Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within. Down to the end of verse 13, we stand to sing to God's praise.
Sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. Yeah.
Pray as we turn back to this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we pray for your help once more as we turn to this passage. We acknowledge, Lord, with the psalmist that we are transgressors, we are sinners, and yet we thank you that you are the God who calls us to turn unto you. And we thank you that as we turn to you in faith and in repentance, we are promised that there is salvation, that there is forgiveness, and that you reveal yourself to us and you teach us the wonder of the gospel message, and you bless us with your presence. So we pray that you would draw near to us now. Teach us your ways, reveal your character and more of the glory, Lord, of your works to us. And help us, we pray, in a passage that in many ways seems far from us in terms of geography and time. We ask that you would, in the power of the Holy Spirit, teach us, help us to understand the passage and also what you're saying to us today in and through this. And we acknowledge once more, as we did this morning, and as we do each time we meet together, that we are wholly dependent upon you. We can't speak, we can't hear, we can't respond without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for that help just now. And we pray not just for ourselves, we pray for every congregation that meets as we do in different places, the congregations around us in this area, whatever Christ crucified is preached. We ask, Lord, that you would be at work, that you would be blessing your word, that you would be saving and sanctifying people. We pray for the gathering this evening in Scalpe, as your people come together to sing psalms and to worship you. We pray that each one would know your presence, Lord, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, and that the presence of the Holy Spirit would be felt, would be known. And again, Lord, we pray for those who are absent tonight from us. We think of many who are on holiday in different places, and we thank you for the opportunity they have. We pray that you would refresh them, grant them safety in their time away, and bring them back to us also in safety, that we may once more be found together in the house of God, worshiping in the name of Jesus. So hear our prayers, take away our sin. Help us, Lord, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Genesis chapter 19, if you could have that open in front of you, you'll find that helpful. We're just going to step through the chapter this evening. And it's a chapter that we've maybe seen on the horizon over the last few weeks. It's a difficult chapter for us to go through. And I want to just begin by looking at the context that this chapter sits in. If we think back and glance back at the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 18, we see at the end of that chapter Abraham. And Abraham is standing before the Lord. That's the phrase that's used in verse 22. He's standing before the Lord and he's praying for the city of Sodom. Remember, the Lord has revealed to Abraham that the sin of Sodom was great and it was grievous. It was an offense to the Lord. And two of the Lord's agents were sent to Sodom to carry out an investigation to see the reality and the depravity of what was going on in that place. Genesis 18, verse 20 and 21, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me." And so that's shared with Abraham. The Lord shares with Abraham the sin of Sodom, the judgment that is heading in the direction of Sodom. And Abraham, no doubt with Lot in his mind, and with Lot's family in his mind, those whom he loves, he begins to pray for the city. And in verses 22 down to verse 33 of Genesis 18, we're given an insight into this prayer as Abraham prays for the city of Sodom with the prospect of this judgment that's coming. And we're left at the end of Genesis 18 wondering what will happen next. What will the news be from Sodom? What will the Lord's investigators find when they reach there? And that takes us into Genesis chapter 19. And the first thing that we see, the first point for this evening is the reception into Sodom. We see the two angels who arrive in Sodom, and we're given a picture there of the reception that they receive. The two angels, and I'll flick between the NIV and the ESV. I did most of my preparation in the NIV, but there's some verses that I switch a little. So the first thing we see, verse 1, is the reception into Sodom. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. And immediately there should be alarm bells for us. Immediately we can sense that there's a problem here, because Lot is sitting in the gateway of the city. And the gateway of the city, that's the place where all the action happened. That's where the business was done. You could say it was like the council offices of Sodom. That's where all the business transactions went on. That's where all the people of influence and power met together to transact their daily business. And we see Lot, and he's standing there, and he's in the midst of it all. And it shows how immersed Lot was in the life of Sodom. Remember, we've seen Lot, as we've glanced at him in the previous chapters. He chooses to move in the direction of Sodom, but he stays back from it. And then the next time we see him, he's on the fringes of Sodom, but he's still a step removed from it. But now he's right in the city. He's immersed in the life of Sodom. And if we go forward a little into the chapter, we can see that Lot, he has a house. Now, you might think, well, what's the significance of that? But if you think back to the previous chapter, when the angels meet with Abraham, remember where they find him. They find him sitting at the entrance to the tent. Remember, Abraham is following the Lord. The Lord called him out, and the Lord called Abraham to follow. And so Abraham doesn't have a house. He's not settled. He has a tent. And he moves as the Lord guides him, and he stops as the Lord directs him. But not so with Lot. Lot is firmly established in the city. He has a house. We're told in verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 10, but he's a house owner. And we can just imagine him. He's there in that city. He's truly settled down in Sodom. He's got a steady job at the city gate. He's got a house and a mortgage and a driveway and an estate car. And he's settled. He's comfortable, it seems, in that world. And it causes us to ask the question by way of application, where are we? Are we in this world and comfortable and settled in this world, following the patterns and the pools of this world? Or are we people who realize that we're just sojourners? You know, we're passing through. We have no continuing city here. And so our focus is on the world, the city, the place that has been prepared for us by the Lord Jesus. Do we have that healthy sense of being unsettled in this world and thirsting for the home that Jesus has promised to all who are trusting him? Are we still in tents of following the Lord Jesus where he guides us and directs us? Or are we those who have settled and who are firmly established, and what we see is all on ground level? Let's read on, still in verse 1. So Lot, he is at the city gate. He's sitting there. And when he saw them, when he saw the angels, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." And in one sense, we could say, as we listen into this conversation, in one sense, the conversation goes kind of well. Because Lot, he seems to recognize, he seems to sense that these angels are the Lord's messengers. And he meets them readily. He doesn't push them away. And he shows them reverence. He's polite. He's reverent towards them. And he seems to want to have fellowship with them. And maybe something in Lot was stirred. Maybe he was remembering past times of blessing, and maybe he just wanted to taste something of that again. So he asked them to stay with him. But not for too long, just for a night. Why just a night? Well, we don't know. We're not told that. But maybe Lot just wanted a wee taste of spirituality, of religion, but not too much. Maybe he just wanted to taste something that was familiar and that brought that spiritual pleasure back into his heart. Or it may have been that Lot sensed that there was danger up ahead. He didn't want them to linger too long. We don't know, we're not told. But what we can see is that the angels, in spite of the invitation, the reception of Lot, they're not keen to stay in the city. So we've got the reception into Sodom as Lot meets these two angels. And the second point that we see here is the refusal, in the first instance anyway, to stay in Sodom. We have the answer in verse 2. Lot extends the invitation, and they answer very firmly, "No. We will spend the night in the square." But he, Lot, insisted so strongly that they did go in with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. And again, let's ask the question as we think about what we're reading in the text. Why the refusal on the part of the angels to stay with Lot? Because he meets them, and he greets them, and he says, "Come on in." I want you to stay with me. I want you to eat with me. And their response is not a positive response. They push back. They don't seem ready to eat with Lot. They'd rather stay in the square. They're distant from him. They don't want to stay. So why is that? And again, we're not crystal clear on this. But I think it's fair to say it's because they knew, they sensed that this city was not a place for the Lord's people to settle. This was not a place to enter into and to settle down in. This was a place to flee from. Because they can see the sin within it. They can sense the atmosphere within the place as they're sent to investigate what's happening on ground level. They sense danger. They're not at ease in that environment that's so clearly and openly sinful. They know that they need to leave there as soon as possible. Their conscience, their sense of moral discernment is tingling. And yet, in contrast to them, Lot seems so unfazed. We see him, and Lot is not making plans to leave the city. He's settled within it. And so we ask the question, why is Lot so unfazed? Why is he so unbothered? And I think the answer to that question is his conscience is dulled. His heart has become hard. And he's got used to being in that environment. That place of sin. And we know, as we think about our lives, that can happen. Our consciences can get dulled. We can become accustomed to, and even to a degree comfortable in, an environment that is sinful. Think even about, you know, the most mundane example. We can be watching the television. There can be a program on, and we're watching this, and we hear language in the program, and at first we hear it, and it shocks us, and we're not at ease. We're very uncomfortable. But then, if we're exposed to that kind of program, that kind of language over a slightly longer period, we start to get used to it. Doesn't shock us anymore. And then we hardly notice it. Our conscience becomes dulled. And even in terms of the places that we can go, there's sometimes places that we can go and at first we feel uncomfortable. But then as we take a bit more time in that atmosphere, we get used to it. Doesn't bother us anymore. And that's where Lot was. But the angels were showing Lot, and they were teaching Lot, that this was not the place that he should stay. In spite of his apparent comfort in the city of Sodom, the angels are teaching Lot that he needed to leave that place. He needed to repent of sin. He needed to get out of that environment. And yet Lot is saying to these angels, let's not rush off. Come on inside and we'll have a meal. We'll have some time together. And we can be like that. We can be like Lot. We can look at this passage and think, what on earth has this got to do with me? How can I connect with Lot? What's this whole grim chapter got to do with my experience? And yet we can be like Lot when we want the Lord to bless us, when we want to taste fellowship with God, but we don't want to leave our sin behind. Lot says to the angels, come with me. I want to taste something spiritually sweet. Come inside. Sit with me. And yet what the angels seem to be saying is, no, if you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, you need to leave this place. You need to flee from this city. You need to repent. I suppose the New Testament equivalent is the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15. Remember, he goes off to the far country. He's in a place that appears to be a lot like Sodom, and yet his life begins to fall apart, and he finds himself in a pigsty, and he's yearning, he's longing to know some of the comfort that he once knew in his father's house. And he speaks that out as he's in this pigsty. How can he taste the blessing of being near the Father again? Well, he can't taste the blessing of being near the Father. He can't know the joy of being in the Father's house by extending an invitation to the Father and saying, come and join me in the pigsty. Well, the prodigal had to leave the pigsty. He had to get out of the far country. He had to turn back to his father. He had to go home. And maybe the Lord is saying to someone tonight, you know, it's time to leave your Sodom before things get any worse. Anna McRae was telling me a story a few days ago about a mother who was estranged from, I think, her daughter. There had been a falling out. There had been an estrangement. The mother's at home. The daughter's far away. And yet in the heart of the mother, there is that love for the daughter. And there's that longing that the daughter would come home. So every night when the mother would go to bed, she would leave a light on. So that should the daughter come back, she would see the light was on. The door was open. The welcome was there. And that's how the Lord is with us. We are those who are prone to wander, as we sang. We are those who sometimes find ourselves in the Sodoms of this world. But the light of the Father is on. Still, as we see him in the prodigal son parable, he scans the horizon. He calls his wayward children home. So we see the reception into Sodom. We see the refusal on the part of the angels to want to stay in Sodom. And the third thing we see here, and it's pretty gruesome, as we see the repercussions of sin. We see various pictures that show us just the graphic, putrid reality of sin. And we need to see that from time to time. Remember, as a child, one of the things that we were told always was, don't play with matches. The reason you don't play with matches is because you get burned. And I can remember when we were in primary school, there was this thing that we I'm using the plural we here, that we young lads love to do, and that was, it was called a magic genie. And what would happen is you would buy a box of matches, and you would open the box, so it's just a wee bit open. You'd light one match, you'd throw it into the box, you'd stand back, and there would be this massive flame that would come out of the box, and it was a spectacular kind of thrilling display that you should never do, young people. But you were always running the risk of getting seriously burned. You had to jump back quick. You don't play with fire, you don't play with matches, because you're going to get burned. And if you and I play with sin, if we make Sodom our playground, as Lot did, there will be consequences. There will be repercussions. And There are various instances in this chapter where we see how costly and how ugly it was for Lot to stay in Sodom. And we see in verses 4 to verse 7 this horrible scene as the men of Sodom surround the house where these two angels were, and they make advances. They try to apply pressure. They try to have these men dragged out into the streets because they want to, as the ESV puts it, know them. And Lot realizes the trouble he's in. And Lot realizes the consequences of what's about to happen. And so he begins by saying the right moral thing. He confronts these men who are battering at his door, and he says, "Don't do this evil thing." But as the pressure mounts, Lot's defenses fall. And in verses 8 and 9, he says the most awful thing. He says, leave these men alone, but let me put my daughters out onto the street. And it's the most distressing, distasteful, ugly scene. But what we are seeing is what the Lord saw and spoke of in Genesis 18 and verse 20. We are seeing the grievous sin of Sodom. And not only has Lot chosen to be in that place and put himself at risk, but he's brought his whole family into that place. And it's disturbing to read. It's a difficult passage to think through, but sometimes we need to see this. Sometimes we need to look to see where sin can take us. Often sin will take us into places that we would never have imagined, and into situations that we would never have knowingly chosen. When we go down the path of sin and compromise, we can often find ourselves doing things that we would never have thought. Sin, like a fire, very, very quickly will get out of control. And we see that fire burning here in the life of Lot and his family. And it's disturbing. But we need to see this, because this is the ugly character of sin. This is a picture of sin, when the glitter and the glamour is peeled away. This is the hideous core of sin that we are seeing on the streets of Sodom. And even if we look on a little more, we see that after Lot and his family are taken out of Sodom, the repercussions of that sinful environment linger on. Sodom leaves a mark on Lot because he finds it hard to leave the place. Verses 17 to 22, you can see that as the angels are pressing upon Lot the urgency of leaving, he doesn't want to go far. He wants to stay close by. Still, that pull into Sodom's ways is upon him. And Sodom leaves its mark on Lot's wife, because in verse 26 we see Lot's wife, she's lost because she can't leave sin behind. And then in verses 31 to 38 we see that the morality, the sexual immorality of Sodom is still in the daughters of Lot as they entrap their father and they carry out this awful plan. So this is ugly, this is difficult, this is disturbing. But this is in the Bible. Because we need to see the repercussions of sin in order that we will be constantly repenting of it and fleeing from it. And also, I think we need to see the gruesome reality of sin, because this enables us to understand a little bit more about what Jesus had to face on the cross. Jesus was punished for some of the most hideous sins in our lives and in many other lives. You know, Lot was saved. We're told that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. Lot was saved. But Lot's sin had to be paid for. And if Lot didn't pay for it, Jesus had to pay for it on the cross. The one who was too pure to look upon sin became sin for Lot. And he became sin for us, so that we could be cleansed of it. So we see the repercussions of sin. And finally, we see the rescue. And I want to finish just by praising the Lord for the rescue that we see here. Verses 10 and 11, as the powers of hell are outside the door of Lot's house, and as Lot is getting pulled into this, we read in verse 10, but the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. And so we see here in stages that Lot, he's rescued. But it's not Lot who is doing the rescuing. Lot is passive here. It's the Lord who reaches out. It's the Lord who using his angels, pulls Lot back. It's the Lord who sought out Lot. It's the Lord who determines to spare Lot. He wasn't able to overpower this crowd. But it was the Lord that saved him. It's the Lord that rescued him. Yeah, there's echoes of Psalm 40. The psalmist is sinking. It's the Lord who lifts him up and saves him. And it's an illustration, one of many that we see in the Bible, of how the Lord works with us. We don't save ourselves. We can't. Not by our works, not by our religion. We are saved by the Lord. It's his work. We are saved by his grace. And we see that with Lot. He's rescued from the men in the street as the Lord uses his angels to pull him out. And then we see with Lot and his whole family, as we fast forward on a little bit more, that the rescue from Sodom is the Lord's work. It's the Lord using these angels that press upon Lot the urgency and the necessity of leaving the place. There's hesitation on the part of Lot and the family. But what we read in verse 16, as we see Lot and his wife and his two daughters grasped by the hand and led out safely from the city. We read these words that teach us how salvation is possible. And the words there in verse 16 is, the Lord was merciful to them. And so I want to just finish by underlining the truth of that verse. The Lord was merciful to them. This chapter is grim as we see the graphic nature of sin, but in the midst of the darkness of sin, we see the light of the Lord's mercy. The Lord did not give up on them, but he showed them mercy. He saved them. He remembered Abraham's prayer, and he acted in response to that. He showed them mercy. Did they deserve it as we look at Lot? Absolutely not. But mercy wouldn't be mercy if we deserved it. So let's finish this evening by praising the Lord for his mercy shown to us. Because he is the same Lord who seeks and who saves us. He shows mercy. He shows grace to us as he calls us to turn from sin, to turn from the Sodoms of this world, and to find salvation in and through Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that even in the grimmest of passages, we see your constant love and mercy. And we thank you that you're the God who does not change. Although our sins are many, although we see much of the mistakes of Lot in our lives as we feel the pull of sin into places that we often should not be found, we thank you that you're the God who takes hold of us, who calls us to repent, to turn to you, and who shows us mercy and grace as we come. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into this world. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is the one who made it possible for us to be shown mercy. We thank you that he suffered for sinners like Lot and for sinners like us. And if we look in faith to him, we are cleansed from sin. And we are given a salvation that is eternally secure. So although our sins are many, we thank you that your mercy is more. And help us, we pray, to sing praise to you as we close this time together. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We'll sing now the words of that hymn to finish. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. We'll stand to sing to God's praise.
Love could remember, no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins they are many, his mercy is more.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.